been a lot less recently than when we were in the heart of the corona challenge. A little less now since we're meeting again. And James chapter 4. Remember what the theme of James is? It's spiritual maturity or endurance through life by depending upon the Lord. And this is what we refer to as one of those mature living books. Okay. We gave you some background with regard to James. Remember, he's a half-brother of Jesus, correct? When did James believe on the Lord Jesus, his brother, as who is the Son of God? When did he believe upon him? After Christ resurrected from the dead. So that means Christ was, what, 33 years of age? And probably James was, you know, late 20s, probably something of that nature, right? Yes or no? And so growing up in that family, he still hadn't placed his faith in Jesus as the Messiah, but then he did. He did. Think of that. So drawing near to God, this is something that very interesting in our hearts. We want to be close to the Lord. Sometimes we don't feel like we're close to the Lord. And I remember the promises there in Hebrews, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we're just going to look at tonight in James chapter 4, drawing near to God. Look at James 4, and we're going to be looking at verses 7 through 10. James 4, 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of truth tonight. Draw us closer to yourself, Lord. We ask for your enabling grace now to learn the word, to preach the word, and to live it. So we might have a growing relationship with you, dear Lord. Not just words on a page, but a person, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so these verses are for believers who want to feel close to God. Do you ever want to feel close to God? And they show others how to be close to God. So we have two categories here of believers. One is actually walking with the Lord, and they want to feel close to the Lord. But one is got a little bit of carnality going on, and they sense a little bit of distance between them and the Lord. And this, of course, would show us why that happens at times. This doesn't take into account the just natural feelings sometimes that come about us that, you know, you can be sitting beside somebody and feel very far away from them at the same time. You know what I mean? Okay. One football player, when he got saved, he said, you know what? I realized when I got saved in the National Football League, he said, I was standing there and there's, you know, 100,000 people around, right? And then he said, I felt like one of the loneliest people in all the world. All these people around me and, you know, praising me for sports and all that, he said, but I was so empty inside because I'd actually achieved what I thought would bring me satisfaction. And guess what? Once I was there, it didn't bring me satisfaction. Wow, all life living for that. But anyways, what will bring us satisfaction is the Lord himself. Can we be fooled, by the way, and move over to other things? Yeah, very easily, very easily. So a maturing believer will continually acknowledge and place himself under what? The rule of God. A maturing believer will realize that. If we don't think that we're under God, then we're on our own. That's how we think. We're not on our own. So we might as well, in our heart and mind, realize that I am under God. Therefore, you know, God's my security. God's my protector. And God's word is the satisfaction of my soul. Let's look at these words right here in James 4, 7. Submit yourselves, he says, therefore, unto God. Submit means to willingly place yourself under another's authority. To fall in line. One who does not need to be coerced, but is cooperative. And that takes place on the inside. If you have to be coerced, you're talking about externally. But when you're cooperative, you're already willing to submit yourself to the Lord. Nobody can make you submit to the Lord. Look at the tribulation study. A lot of people just are not submitting to God, no matter what He brings into their life. By the way, the quicker we can get to submission to God, the better it will be for us. There's no doubt about it. Don't try it on your own. Life's tough. Isn't that right? Life's got some rough stuff to it. So the sooner we can submit to the Lord, I think even during the beginning of the day, just before we even roll out of bed, you know, one eye open, one eye, and I said, Lord, take over. I acknowledge my weakness and I need your strength. Then get out of bed. Okay. Resist is a military term meaning to take a stand. Who are we going to submit to the Lord? If we want to feel close to the Lord, we'll submit to the Lord. I'm under the Lord. And who are we going to have to resist? That's an easy one. Who are we going to have to resist? The devil. Devil means accuser. One who accuses you before God and accuses God in your mind at times. He tries to make God out to be a liar, when in fact he is the liar. God always tells the truth. The devil is very crafty at trying to corrupt your opinion of God. Let me read that again. The devil is very crafty at trying to corrupt your opinion of God. That's not good. So what do we do then? We draw near to God. That's our choice. Draw near is the deliberate action of a believer desiring to be close to God. Well, do you desire to be close to God? Then there's an act that goes on there. It means to have a strong desire to worship God. Look at Psalm 27:4. A strong desire to worship God. And guess what God's going to do to your desire to be close to Him? He's going to draw close to you. Now that's pretty good, isn't it? If you desire to draw close to God, He's promised, I will draw close to you. I'm going to meet that desire. I'm going to satisfy that desire. Psalm 27, verse 4 and 8. David has this desire. Psalm 27 and verse 4. One thing have I, and it's a very strong word here, desired of the Lord. That will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life and behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. He wants to see the Lord. He wants to see the character of the Lord and he wants to pray to the Lord. That's the inquiring. He wants to talk to God. And then look at verse 8. When thou sayest, seek ye my face, that's the Lord commanding. My heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. So, who really makes the first move? Even though this says draw nigh unto God, He'll draw nigh unto you. Who really makes the first move? God does. Yeah. God makes the first move. But let's just say you're not feeling too close to God, right? God's already on the move to create in you a thirst that you are separated from Him in some fashion. You know, there's not that nearness there. Two people in the room, but you're not really close to one another. Well, something needs to change, right? And I usually tell my wife, it's her. That's what needs to change. Amen. Can we get an amen there? No. No. All right, Edith. Don't tell her I said that, okay? I was just joking. Two people in the room and one of them doesn't feel close to the other, and you want to feel close to the person, right? Well, then somebody's got to make a move. And we're talking about making a move where? On the inside. Okay. Draw near is the deliberate action of a believer desiring to be close to God. It means to have a strong desire to worship God or show God's worth. Note that God promises to respond by drawing near to you. He commands us to draw near to Him, and then He says, I'll draw near to you. All right, go back to James 4. Hope you kept your place there. I put my trusty little, what do you call this thing right here? The string on your Bible? mark my place whenever I turn, just so I can go right back to the main passage. Of course, if you're using your phone, you can bypass all that. Just bing, 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 and you're right there. I know. Okay. James 4. So, now we're at verse 8. The first thing was, if you don't feel close to God, submit to the Lord. Come underneath His authority. Realize you're underneath His authority. Take a stand against who? The devil. You think the devil would love to lead you away from God? Yes. You think the devil would like to distance, put some distance between you and God emotionally? Oh yeah, he's a snake. So, next thing is, verse 8, clean it up. I remember my dad says, son, you need to clean up your act. I said, okay. He'd say that to all of us. If we were doing something he didn't like, he said, y'all need to clean up your act. Oh, then he added this, and I mean fast. Anybody ever had a clean up your act and then added, and I mean fast from the parent? Okay. How many of you ever said that before? Okay. So clean it up. Look at verse 8 of James 4. Draw nigh to God, and guess what he said he'd do? And he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands. Oh, he says ye sinners, so this must be unbelievers. No. He's not talking to unbelievers here. He's talking about how to mature believers. So the point is, we've got to deal with sin. If we've got sin in our life, some sin we haven't confessed, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Well, who are you going to serve? Are you going to serve the spirit or the flesh? Are you going to serve God or the devil? And that sometimes we are double-minded. We say one thing and we do the other. That's double-mindedness, right? A guy says to me, buddy, I tell you what, I love my wife. I die for her. I take a bullet. And she says, honey, could you take out the trash? He said, I'm not doing that. Bless God. Yeah, something's missing there, right? That's double-mindedness. Well, clean it up. All right, look on our papers. Deal with sin. Any unconfessed sin can make you feel distance from God. It can. If you get in an argument with someone and they don't want to make it right, you're going to feel distance. So, we're talking about God here. So, to cleanse the hands means returning to a moral external behavior, and to purify the heart refers to internal attitudes. One should give evidence in attitude and actions, that's single-minded, not double, that would be consistent with one submitting themselves to the spirit and not to the flesh. So attitude and actions are what he's talking about with regard to clean it up. So far we have what? Realize that you're under God, submit to God, then you're going to have to resist the devil, he's going to accuse God. If you want to feel close to the Lord, if there's any acts of sin externally or internal attitudes aren't right, get that cleaned up, and then look at verse 9. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. So verse 9, we'll entitle this one, Get Right. Okay, I'll go through it again. Submit, realize you're underneath the Lord's authority. Resist the devil. The accuser, draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. If there's any sin, clean it up. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then get right, the word here, verse 9, afflicted. Listen to this. Afflicted is to have a sense of wretchedness or feel miserable over your sins. Why did I do that? Well, because we have a sin nature. Now, if you've never said to yourself, why did I do that? Then you're probably not very close to God. Because people who are close to God often will say, I wish I wouldn't have done that. In one of my areas of weakness, I've really tried to ask the Lord to help me in, is driving. I just have a weakness, you know, with, and even my daughter, I mean, Maria has heard me say this. Gary, this is terrible. Maria has heard me say this so many times that somebody was going slow in front of us and weaving a little bit, and Maria said, "I bet that's a woman driver." I looked over at her, you know. I said, "You are a woman." How many think there's just a little bit of prejudice involved in that statement? That's terrible, isn't it? I'm asking the Lord to help me, really. I'm not. And then I pull the old mortuary one out every now and then. Someone's in front of me, even though the light turns green. They're not moving. "Are you dead?" The mortuary, that's what it goes. And then I pull out the old deaf one every now and then. "Hello? Is anybody up there?" That's terrible, right? If I get behind me. And I got to tell you, every now and then, somebody's behind me and I got something going on and the light turns green, you know, I just got this fog going on and I get the old same business. "What's wrong with you, buddy? Did you get your license at Walmart?" You know how it goes, all this stuff. Now, I haven't been that bad recently, but I got to tell you, I'm just a hair away from it at any time. I can be triggered very easily, and I'm thinking to myself, this is just flat-out carnality, period. And I think, this is a family, this kind of runs in our family, you know. You know, obviously that's an excuse for sin. "I have this attitude because I have red hair," some lady said. No. Be careful. No, that's not the case. "I was born Irish. That gives me a lot of excuse." No, it doesn't. "German did it." No, it doesn't. That's not going to happen either. So I was riding with my brother, my older brother. He can listen to the CD or online if he needs to. It's okay. He knows it's true. But anyways, I was riding with him. And we're not finished here yet, but I was riding with him a couple years ago. And man, we wanted to go eat lunch, family gathering, eat lunch, right? Vacation. And somebody was just one construction site after another, and somebody slow and all this. And man, oh man, he went past someone and honking a horn, and I just slid down in the seat, you know, because I was in the passenger. I didn't want to see it. And I thought, that's probably how it is when somebody's riding with me on occasion, too. I'm going to slink down in the seat. But y'all, not a have to, right? So, I've been improving in this area. I'm just honest confession, just letting you know. I don't want to live that way. And you know what? When it happens, it's not even 10 seconds. "Well, now, what a fine job. What a fine Christian you are." The devil doesn't give me any leeway whatsoever. Anybody know what we're talking about? Okay, he's just on you, you know. "Boy, won't it feel good to express that flesh?" And as soon as you get it, then he's on you on the other side, you know. So, underneath verse 9 here, get right. "Afflicted means to have a sense of wretchedness or feel miserable over your sins. Peter failed the test, but then wept bitterly in regret after denying he knew Christ one day." Right? Remember that? Luke 22:62. We don't have to turn there for time's sake. "Paul bemoaned the condition of his heart and ours when we realize how easy it is to sin against God." Romans 7 is a fight of a man. The inward struggle of a man trying to walk with God, yet his flesh constantly attacks him. Romans 7:24-25. He says, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" And of course the answer is, "But I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." You can look at Psalm 139 later where it says, "Search me and try me, see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." These commands, these obeyed commands, move one toward a renewed fellowship and satisfaction of heart toward God. fall in line. You can see the strong military inference here, can't you? Fall in line, influence. Fall in line, stand strong, draw near, clean it up. But then this, be miserable, mourn and weep. All right, now at verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Hating sin and desiring to be close to him, that's what verse 10 is bringing us to. Hating sin and desiring to be close to him. This is probably the focus statement I want you to have tonight, and for me as well to take away. It's not hating another's sin that will mostly influence a move toward God. It is hating my own sins. Did you hear that, everybody? It's not somebody else's sins that will mainly move me toward God. It's hating my own sins will move me toward God. And believe me, like Donald Trump said about Rand Paul's hairstyle, believe me, there's room for improvement there too, buddy. Anybody remember that? Who's there room for improvement in here? Everybody. Everybody. So this is humility, actually. Humility means to make low, to be humble. It is the opposite of having a stiff neck like a stubborn mule, unwilling to be moved. My dad used to say, people who won't participate in ministry, it must be their favorite theme song is, I shall not be moved. The song's supposed to be mean move away from the Lord. He meant get moving for the Lord, you know. This is a picture of a fed sheep that is satisfied and secure under a shepherd's care. And the Lord said he'll exalt such a person. So we make ourselves low before the Lord. Exalt means to lift one up. The word is used to describe the act of an eastern monarch, a king, approaching his throne. He graciously, raises the face of his servants who were on their knees with their heads bowed to the ground. As he's walking to the throne and he sees them with their face toward the ground, a sign of humility, making themselves low, he raises their face back up. We can fail the Lord at times through pride rising in our hearts. We all have to fight that. If we think we are more important than we really are, let us remember the gracious words of our Lord and King who desires to be close to us, Luke 14:11. For whosoever exalteth himself, that is, as though he were more important than he is, shall be abased, which means brought low. And he that humbleth himself, meaning understanding he is in the presence of someone greater than he, that person shall be exalted, meaning lifted back up to do what? Serve again. See, when a king comes by, he realizes, the servants realize, the power of life and death is in the hand of the king. And when they realize maybe he didn't like what... You remember the two guys, not necessarily a godly leadership, but one was the baker, and who was the other guy? The taster of the fruit of the vine, you know? And Joseph's dream, right? Put both of them in prison. He didn't like the drink, and he didn't like the cook. And after 3 days, you know, the interpreted dream, one of them he put to death. In other words, he kept his face down, but the other one, the word would be, he raised his face back up, and he went back to service. That's what the king does to us. Even though we fail him, he loves us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us, and he'll always be looking to raise back up our face. I love the Lord. Isn't he good? The Lord is so good. Lord, we thank you so much for being such a gracious king and a Lord. You know our hearts, and we're prone to wonder, yet we want to be close to you. If we have any sins unconfessed, any attitudes internally that aren't pleasing to you, we don't want them, Lord, because we want to be close to you. Cleanse our hearts and minds in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's look at our prayer list tonight.